The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
You're saying Rodgers is out of his prime?
Well, no. I know, how dare he? Listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. He was my boy. He still is my boy. In a lot of ways, I say he's my favorite quarterback ever still. So don't get jealous, okay?
I'm taking, you said it.
All right.
Yo, what's up, homies? Got a special podcast today. I mean, really special. Because last week, I went up to Buffalo and hung out with my boy, Blue. That's my boy, Blue. Josh Allen, right? Josh Allen, who I think is the best quarterback in football right now. Right up there with Mahomes and Justin Herbert and Burrow and Aaron Rodgers. Josh Allen, to me, phenomenal. And got a great look of, inside look, I should say, of the guy, the person, and then the football mind. And I hope that's what everybody likes here, because we kind of hit it on it all. We hit on when Sean McDermott, when he realized he went full in on Josh Allen. When was the moment he realized, whoa, I can't fit the ball into every tight window in the history of the football planet. I got to dial it back a little bit. Mechanics, Tom Brady trash talk from the match. We kind of went around his career and the expectations of the season. And even the fact of, hey, what's your reaction that you're kind of in the middle of Manning, Brady, or Elway, and Marino right now with you and Mahomes in this rivalry? So without further ado, I hope you enjoy my boy Blue, me and him having a catch in the middle of the Buffalo Bills stadium. Josh Allen, here he is.
My boy Blue? Do you know I call you my boy Blue? Did you really know that? You know that?
I do know that.
You do that? Okay, yeah. Good. I mean, I've made a song after you. I got a lot of nicknames for you because I feel like you're my guy. So thanks for being out here with me, man.
Appreciate you. Well, really, you are my guy.
Thanks a lot.
I am your guy. You're my guy too.
All right, good. Thanks, Blue. My boy Blue. See? First thing I want to like ask you about, just like growing up, did you dominate Little League sports?
I felt like I did.
You did? That's all right. Yeah. Don't be bashful. I mean, you're dominating the NFL. You're allowed to say you dominated Pee Wee football and all that.
Yeah, Pee Wee football was fun. I think I was more dominant in, like, Little League baseball.
Little League baseball?
Or swim team, to be honest.
Right. And did you play basketball, too?
I did.
Yeah.
But football, I was quarterback. Felt like I was pretty good, but I was always, believe it or not, pretty small.
Were you really?
Yeah.
And when did you become a giant?
Junior, senior year of high school, and then grew a little bit in junior college as well.
So that's when it really picked up.
Yeah.
And then like your arm itself, like pitching baseball, like
yep.
You did all that.
Mm-hmm.
And you always could throw it even when you weren't as big and everything like that. Like always had an arm where you're like, wow, I can throw the ball harder than anybody around.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So baseball, it was pitching. What other position was it?
Pitching, first base. I was actually like my freshman year, I played varsity and they stuck me in right field.
Right.
To throw people out at first.
Right.
So that was kind of part of the gig there. Just like go out there when the ball's thrown or hit to you, just throw it hard, you know?
Yeah, got you. All right, well, like so much made about like, you know, oh, Josh Allen, mechanics coming out, you know, and like inaccuracy and all those type of questions, right? And that's just like the first thing I want to talk to you about just a little bit. Like since you've come out in college, you haven't changed your grip or anything, right?
Not the grip, not at all.
Till 2 and under 5 like that?
Yep, just my ring finger there. And so I'm, yeah, just here.
Yeah, so you're 2 and under 5. Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. There's a very popular grip right now in the NFL. I feel like there's a lot of guys that go 1 on and under.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, like, nobody really did that a whole lot. Like Elway, Marino, you know, my father, Joe Montana, those two fingers were on the ball.
Gotcha.
So it's like, it's just interesting to see, like, you – and I see Kyler Murray and all, you know, a lot of guys who do it. But it's just always natural to you to go that way?
And I've never changed my grip. Now, in terms of mechanics, I think I've gotten drastically different from when I first came out.
Right.
I've tried to turn more into a rotational thrower, and I used to be kind of a
linear thrower,
right? So I'm like throwing off a mound, and you'd look at some pictures in college, and there's sometimes I'm like this.
Yeah, I remember seeing it sometimes.
Yeah.
When did that light bulb go on to like say all of a sudden, like, wait, I got to change this and let me be more rotation and around than up and down?
Yeah, it was going into my third year.
Right.
Jordan Palmer, and we have a guy by the name of Chris Hess.
Okay.
He's got a company called Biometric.
Right.
And we digitally mapped my mechanics, and like you do this thing, like you do this warm up, and all of a sudden it connects all your joints, and
you got like that wire, and there's like
30% or 30 degrees of angle on your ankle flexion, and
right,
your left knee is stronger than your right knee, and we used some force plates. He did it great, and I think Chris Hess, you know, along with Jordan, after watching that and getting that breakdown of my mechanics, that's when things were like switched, because everything up top was beating everything down low. It was almost like reverse order.
Right.
So as soon as I started learning sequencing, and whether it's the right thing to do or not, I kind of elongated my arm.
Okay.
Which allowed everything else, because I was so quick here.
Right.
It allowed everything else to kind of sequence through.
Gotcha.
And then it's still
more body and less arm. Let the arm follow the body a little bit more.
Yeah, and then we incorporated a little, like every once in a while I do the Aaron Rodgers foot pop.
I see it. I know.
So I don't really know why I do that.
Right.
I couldn't tell you the exact reasons, but I feel like when I'm closed on a throw.
Yeah.
If I'm throwing on my left and I'm just closed.
Right.
That little pop allows me to rotate and get as open as I can be there.
Right. Just in case you're in the pocket and you didn't get quite in the right position, but you go, oh God, this guy's open over here. Let me flick it to him. And that's when so that's something you like stole from Rodgers basically a little bit.
Basically. And it was just a thing. Like I had seen him do it.
Right.
Watching his game film and stuff like that. And I just started messing around, started messing around in practice one day, and I was like, hey, there's something to this. Like, it started coming off really good, and I was like, got me into a position where, like, everything was going this way.
Right.
And it's been working out.
So what about, like, a little bit more of, like, any other things you think of? Like, I noticed, like, you know, you think about your front shoulder, you know? Do you think about anything like that?
Not so much.
Yeah.
I know, like, I'm not as mechanically sound as I'd like to be, but I think that kind of comes in part because I'm doing so much other stuff. I'm moving, I'm getting out of the pocket, I'm throwing from different arm angles. And I think the main takeaway that I have in my own mechanics, I feel like I know my mechanics better than anybody, but in my mind, I see a little strike zone.
Okay.
Like there's something right here telling my arm, like the ball's gotta be released here.
Gotcha.
Because like when I used to be that linear thrower, like when I released the ball up here, it's high. When I released a little too late,
it's low.
Ball was dying. Right. So as I'm getting rotation, if I can continue to release the ball in the same spot, now I got to change my shoulders for trajectory.
Gotcha.
Right? And I can still go here.
Right.
I can still throw it this way. Like everything, as long as it's coming out, and I try to stop my hand in this spot right here. And then sometimes, obviously, momentum's still going.
Sure.
But in terms of like releasing the ball, I'm trying to be as precise and accurate and, you know, similar every time I throw the ball.
I've heard you talk about it. Yeah, so you really are almost into the, like, where, like, seeing your hand hit the target, actually.
Yeah, and it's I don't want people to think, like, I'm aiming the ball. It's
just,
like, I want to be as consistent as possible with my stroke.
Right.
And when I know where the ball's coming out, like I said, that's when I can do this.
Yeah, and you can start changing angles. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's funky, but I love it. And Matt Barkley, he's pretty big on mechanics, too. So we have some fun talks, and sometimes you know, I think I'm right. Sometimes he thinks he's right. But,
yeah.
You know, it's great dialogue.
Wait, how long did it take to, like, click where you just like, oh, wait, I got it. And, like, you know, did you have to, like, go a whole offseason of working it became natural? Or did it?
Yeah, I actually went to Jordan into my third year.
Right.
I said, I want to start incorporating this.
Yeah.
Little foot pop that Aaron was doing. Right. And as I started getting to it, I was just like, all right, well, looking at the biometric stuff, I was like, okay, well, let's get a little longer here. Widen my base out a little bit and just here, like swinging a baseball bat, you know?
Gotcha, right. And you like, do you have like thought of like popping your feet underneath you or anything like that a whole lot?
Not really.
No, no. I could tell you don't. That's where it's interesting. You're very comfortable almost throwing flat footed to a degree at times.
Yeah, and that's why like in our offense specifically, we've got so many options and different Like, they can break in, they can break out, they can be at 10 yards, they can be at 8 yards.
Right.
And it's a little different than, like, most guys say, I need you at 12 yards on the sideline, the ball's coming out, 3-hitch, go. Like, I'm not like that. I'd rather be, like, sitting here on my back leg.
Right.
You do your job, you get open.
Right.
And when you're open, that's when I'm like,
you're gonna
I'm
pull
just
the
waiting
trigger.
For you, and as soon as I see either break in, that's why, like, I set up to throw left.
Yeah.
And then I adjust to throw right, because I still think in, like, with that thought process and with being a rotational thrower,
yeah,
I can still throw this way from this angle.
Yes.
So setting up left, and if he breaks out, it's still this way.
So you favor left because you know you can get back right so easily. Yes. And naturally. That's I've never heard anybody say that. That's why you're a freak of nature too, though. Okay. Hey, first off, just so everybody knows, the guy made the most unbelievable damn throw in 2-minute drill before, and I just went, oh my gosh, and like a few of you people on the sidelines, your little hole shot down the right sideline. Yeah. I mean, there's only like a few guys in the history of football that can make that throw. It's insane. I just had to say that.
Thank you.
All right. Other thing, like, how many times a game do you think you just unleash it and throw it 100% effort, 98% effort? Like,
maybe once or twice a game.
Right.
And it's not the deep go balls. It's like, oh, shoot, tight window here. Like, I got to go.
Yeah.
Like, and right. It's almost like those sudden ones where, like, I see the window now, but I know it's closing.
Skinny post, like, in cut,
yes,
something like
it's
that.
It's usually those in cuts or those curl routes where you're trying to beat two defenders squeezing in on them.
Right.
And usually when you're throwing it that hard,
yeah,
the ball should probably be going somewhere else.
Right.
Because that's attracting two guys. Someone's got to be open.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, how long did it adjust? Is the adjustment to go, okay, I can't squeeze everything in here all the time. Yeah. When did that light bulb go, okay, like, all right, Wyoming, high school, okay, I could do it, but here.
Yeah, that would have been second year against the Patriots.
Gotcha.
3 interceptions in that first half. Get reamed on the sideline by Daboll, go out and get knocked out of the game. It was at that point I knew, it was like, you know what, like, let's trust the guys around me. Like, I don't need to make every single throw
right.
that I see and allow, you know, the 10 guys on the field to help me out. And just slowly and surely started taking that thought process and taking the easy ones. And when the big ones present itself, that's when you kind of go.
Yeah, okay, all right. And now, like, touch balls. You know, you've become a really awesome touch thrower, timing thrower, loft the ball up, let the guy run under it. I mean, I saw some even practice today where it's just like, oh, wait, I got a little pressure on me and I got to throw like a deep cross off my back. Like, do you have a different thought process when you throw those type of footballs as compared to maybe when you're, like you talked about before, driving the ball?
Yeah, in terms of placement, it's just like, it. Those don't need to be as precise, like
yeah.
right here. But again, it's give my guy a shot and not the other guy.
Yeah, right.
So it's float it towards the sideline, bring them back down, try, like I try to limit as much overthrows as possible.
Yeah, gotcha.
I hate overthrowing the ball. You know, tip balls, those typically get picked.
Right.
So as much as I can get them going towards the sideline, especially when there is pressure and I got to drop the arm angle, just them or nobody.
Put out at a place where they can go run and get it, and
yes.
hopefully they get it. If they don't, it's an incomplete pass.
Yes.
All right, so now the next thing I want to ask you about is, like, you know, your scrambling ability. The backyard football, you know, you, Mahomes, Rodgers in his prime, like, it's off the charts.
Like, you're saying Rodgers is out of his prime?
Well, no. Maybe not moving and scrambling. That's gotcha. What I was trying to say. I know, how dare he? Listen, I love Aaron Rodgers. He was my boy. He still is my boy. In a lot of ways, I say he's my favorite quarterback ever still. So don't get jealous, okay?
I'm not taking. You said it.
All right. but yeah, how, you know, do you practice that? How do you practice chaos in backyard football?
Yeah, it's not like you can work as many scramble drills 7-on-7 as you want. That is the furthest thing from the real thing as
yeah,
possible.
Right.
And, you know, when we do that, it's just like, come on, guys. Like, I get it. Like, roll this way. Guys are going to work. But it's a trust in the guys when I do make something happen. And it happened a couple times in practice today. And we practice a little differently, like you saw today.
Yeah.
It's a little different than most places. But
right.
in terms of just, like, feeling it, like, and we all know, like, there's some longer developing routes where we want to take a shot and I get the perfect defense.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing eyes here, it's like, all right, where am I possibly getting pressure from? Okay, I'm feeling pressure here. You know what? He just flew by. go find room to find a new spot to throw the ball.
So you do give a good peek with your eyes to the rush and
in certain concepts.
Gotcha. I know what you mean. Yeah. But so you know the play, whatever, but you'll look, you might see a guy get off to a good jump or coming around the edge and you'll give it a definite look. It's not always just feel, right?
Yes, correct.
And then like when you're in that, and take us all into it, because I don't know, I played and I certainly wasn't you, but like those things, that was blur to me. It was like a blur. I just saw like, are you still like hyper aware of everything around you and being able to see down the field and knowing where everybody's at? Are you seeing clearly Von Miller coming around the edge, or do you just see color?
Sometimes it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like clear as day, like it's step up. It's like, I've got nobody out here.
Right.
Like I know I have time. Like you might give a little peek here just to feel anybody on your back. Sometimes you feel flash, and when you get down, you're like, okay, there might be a loop around here, so I got to get up more this way, get rid of the ball before that guy comes around the top.
Right.
And then again, yeah, the defenders, I feel like I do have a good grasp of that. And I think it's just my play style of how I've played since I was in Pop Warner, high school, college. Like, again, where I grew up, like in Pop Warner football, like you just didn't have O linemen, you know? Like it was just drop back and throw the ball, or find a way out and get to a different spot and throw the ball. So
you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
It's a natural practice skill just that was forced on you almost to a degree.
For sure.
Yeah. When you are in that moment and the chaos is around you, do you ever throw balls like blind? Do you go like, oh, wait, I know where that guy's supposed to be, so I'm going to just put it over here? Or do you still go, wait, I got to see it real quick and then I'm going
to
throw it?
I threw one blind football last year, and it was the divisional game to Dawson Knox.
The back of the end zone.
Yeah.
The great catch that I don't think you were throwing to him. You
I
mean
was
that
not
one?
Throwing to him.
Right.
No. And I'll go on record. Like, they dropped eight into coverage. They were only rushing three. Van Noy added on late. Spence did a good job. And I was just kind of rolling out. And I saw Judon coming at me. And I was like, all right, hold on one more second. I might get this flag here. Just
right.
Hold on. Throw it away. Take a hit. Maybe get the flag. And I got up. And it was so cold, like my ears were like basically numb and frozen. So I didn't hear like the crowd go crazy. And like I'm getting up, going back to the huddle, like third down, here we go. And like all of a sudden everybody's walking off the field. I'm like,
wow.
I sat down, I literally go, what happened?
Yeah.
Like I had Dawson come over to me, because they didn't show it on the big screen after the touchdown either. Like I don't even think they knew that we had scored.
Right,
you know?
Right. So you're that hyper aware that you knew Judon was coming and you might get a late hit or something like that, unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
Man, that's amazing. That really is.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Your workout regimen, that's the next thing I kind of wanted to go to. Just, what is it? Do you lift weights? You seem like you're just Johnny Country Strong, who like just is in shape and whatever else, but do you like lift, work out, do that type of stuff?
24/7, every day in the off season.
You're full of it, you're
Yeah, it's, no, I, listen,
Well, tell
I do.
Me why, I mean, it's working,
yeah,
so don't.
Well, again, I think my play style is so much different than a lot of quarterbacks in the league. Like, after the season, I'm beat up physically.
Yeah.
Like my body hurts, and this off season is actually the least amount of working out I did.
Right.
when I came back and I did our initial testing, I blew every test that I've ever done out of the water. And I just think it was allowing my body to rest and recover and actually like feel like it's the best I've ever felt right now, moving, like just in terms of how my body feels, it's the best I've ever felt. Yeah. And obviously back in the training camp, back in the season, like lifting, that's what we do. It's 3-4 times a week. But in terms of like just my feel of my body, it's the best I felt in a long time.
And like, do you consciously not want to, like, is it about like keeping your arm flexible, pliable? Is there anything like that?
I barely touch anything up top.
You don't really touch
anything
up top.
I'll do some dumbbell bench press, but I'm pushing 50s, 60s, maybe 70s if I'm feeling.
Yeah, nothing big.
Feeling good. Like right. No barbell bench press. Really nothing up here. No military press.
Right.
And again, it's just allowing everything to kind of be pliable and flexible, like you're saying, and
right.
have some rubber bandiness to it.
Right. No legs, squats, anything?
Squats, yeah. Heavy in the deadlift.
Heavy?
Hex bar deadlift.
Yeah, okay.
And I've been a fan of hex bar deadlift. I trained coming
like
out of the draft.
Trap bar deadlift?
Trap bar, yes.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
With Ryan Flaherty, and he's done, like, he's the man. So, Flair Bear, if you're watching, you're the man. That, in my opinion, like, we've talked about that a lot, and he's done some studies of how that drill, that lift.
Right.
is the most like correlated to speed and like injury prevention and things of that nature. That's what I love to do, and I feel good doing it.
Yeah, okay, that's amazing. All right, so everybody know that I can bench press more than Josh Allen, just so we know that. I got him on something around
100%.
Here. That's it, that's about all I got. Do you change anything or have a thought process in weather? Like, do you think of anything, like, I've seen quarterbacks sometimes say, I try to, you know, point the nose, the ball down, or I grip the ball less if it's rainy. Is there anything you think? I mean, because I just, you played in a 70 yeah. mile per hour winds against the Patriots and still threw it right through it.
Yeah, so that, like, I know this is going to sound weird.
Yeah.
In the wind, like, you've got to focus as much as you can on throwing a spiral.
Spiral,
like, right. there's some games where, like, it's, the ball's coming out good, but it's just like, all right, I got a flat there and I can duck it out there
yeah.
if I want to. It's going to get there.
Right.
But when that wind is going, and if there's any tilt on that nose.
Right. Like it's going to explode. Yeah.
I mean, if it's spinning, it's coming here. Like, it's – and that's the thing of driving through the wind. I know, like, when the wind's with you, like, it's almost worse when the wind's with you, because when you're throwing a high trajectory ball and also the nose is like this,
yeah.
and it's like, all
it
right,
just it, takes
you
it.
Have no idea where this
right.
ball's going.
Right.
So it's almost more of a drive throw in the wind and keeping it that one or two ball and not really throwing the deep and, goes, because you have no idea.
And you just
But again, into the wind, again, you're just going to have to throw a little harder
right.
and aim a little more left, because that wind is just going to tail off a little
Take
bit
Take it. And you just think about spinning it a little harder.
Yeah. It's just
– It's more of that little bit,
little,
right?
Yeah,
I got you. Okay. You know, Derek Jeter, right? He just had, like, the captain show, right, and all that. And he was talking about, like, he keeps receipts on like the haters, and he knew all the people that doubted him, and that was kind of one of those things that drove him. Were you like that? Because I feel like even after year two and three, it was still like, well, we're still not sold on his accuracy and all that kind of crap, right? Do you listen to that noise, or do you just block it all out?
I mean, it's a double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to say, like, I don't hear that stuff, I don't see that stuff, but it's absolutely, like, I know who has said what.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, this, that. Like, it just pops up sometimes.
Yeah,
and
right.
you've got it on TV, and you've got it on the radio, and that's our job. Like,
yeah.
we get critiqued in the public, like, really no other job in the world. Maybe the president, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, right.
But that just, it comes with the territory. And at the end of the day, I know what I'm capable of. I knew what I was capable of back then. I knew that the Bills believed in that because they traded up to draft me.
Right.
And as long as I had the respect and the trust of my teammates, everything else was minutia. Like, I didn't care. But I still know what you said about me.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, but
so it's
I'm
a little
here.
Burning fire behind the
Correct.
Scenes a little, but not like you don't
it's,
go crazy.
It's not bad. Again, and
I
expect so much out of myself.
Yeah.
I've said some really bad things to myself. Like, I am a negative self-talker.
Yeah.
That's how I light a fire under myself
yeah,
sometimes.
Right.
But
I'm the same way.
I'm also like, I feel like I'm very realistic in the sense of self-knowledge
sure.
and understanding and not lying to myself. I think that's the worst thing you can possibly do is lie to yourself. So I try not to.
Right. All right. All right. So you made the quote recently of like, and I'm paraphrasing here, but like, I want to own every aspect of football. And I can't remember it exactly off the top of my head, but I think you remember what you're saying. What did you mean by that?
Well, one, just like in terms of understanding defenses and coverages that people are trying to play against us,
right,
knowing what their weak points are and certain concepts. If I get this coverage, okay, who am I IDing? Like, where are my eyes going to right at the snap?
Right.
And then in terms of situational football, like Coach McDermott, like there are so many different situations in every single game that you play in. Feels like there's a different situation that arises, whether it's 2 minute, 4 minute, end of half, end of game. Again, like what Coach McDermott preaches to us, we've got Toro situations, we've got red alerts, we've got bingo situations, we've got alter situations. Just knowing exactly why Dorsey is calling what he's calling.
Right.
And trusting that, and trusting Coach McDermott and what he's taught us, and going out there, like, and to be trusted, not just by Dorsey and Coach McDermott,
yeah,
but my team.
Yeah.
To understand, like, Josh knows what he's doing. He understands what the situation is. There's 35 seconds left on the clock in the second half. We're trying to get a field goal. We can't go in bounds here. We need to get out of bounds. We have no time. Like, just the little nuances of football that sometimes gets overlooked in a game. And
so,
no, it's a lot to take in. There's so much involved with that answer. But just having a grasp of every situation when I step on the field, being prepared.
Right. You want to immerse yourself in every bit of it. I get that all the way. All right, you brought up McDermott, and this is, like, something I find, like, so you said how you knew they liked you because they traded up for you. But also, like, he's a defensive coach. And I was always like, I wonder if he'll really ever go all in on the offense and Josh Allen and just let it go. When did you know, like, he had your back? Like, he was going to break the mold of the defensive coach, like a Tony Dungy with Peyton Manning, and go, you know what, this dude's real. Let's just go and attack with it.
Yeah, I think part of season three, you know, he had talked to me and just said, like, hey, like, he told the captains, like, this is your team. Like, here, I'm giving you guys the keys, like, if you guys want to talk in meetings, like, if you guys want to say this before games, like, you guys do you. And, like, when you're on the field, like, I trust you implicitly. Like, take care of the football, score points. That's all that matters. So,
right.
You know, when he said that to me, just allow me to play free and loose and be myself and not be a robot of some sort, you know, where some systems are heel, toe, crossover, back foot, plant, throw.
Right.
It's just like, you do you. This, like, why we drafted you is because of what you've done.
Gotcha.
And we want you to keep doing that. We don't want to change who you are and what you are as a player.
Right. When you're when he's open, just throw it to him. We don't care if you're.
That's right.
You took all the exact steps that are right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's refreshing as a quarterback. I can imagine that, because I've kind of been in both and I found it refreshing that way.
And I've heard stories. Again, we've had a lot of guys, like Case Keenum's been in a lot of different systems.
Matt Barkley,
been in a lot of different systems, and like to hear stories about how their systems were, how concepts were ran. And they're getting here and like, dude, this is awesome. Like,
right.
The respect that the coaches give us here, the leeway on the field of like, hey, like, just figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you feel like a grown man playing football.
Right.
You know, and that's what we are. We're grown men playing football. You got to let us be grown men.
Yeah. All right. You know, you bring up, you know, you brought up Daboll, and now it's Ken Dorsey, somebody who I was, you know, playing in college football. When
38 and 2.
At the U, what's that?
38-2.
38-2. I know. Damn, I don't like that, because I was at Texas at the time and I wanted to play them, and it didn't happen. They would have beat our butt anyways. But either way, you know, what's that? You know, Daboll was great. You got Dorsey, a guy Aaron Cromer as an offensive line coach, mm-hmm. who I was with in Tampa Bay for a little bit, who I got a lot of respect for. Like, what's the new sprinkle? What are they bringing to the squad here that may be different from Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I mean, I just think in terms of run game, we're going to be very, you know, I'd say consistent in our approach to it.
Right.
You know, different thought process going into it. The alignment respect, like you talked about Coach Cromer. And
right.
Just what he's been teaching them, the knowledge and the experience that he has. And then I know it's preseason, but coming out and playing the way we did last week.
Yeah.
And running the ball the way we did, like – guys start to buy in and start to believe that, and when things go the right way. So we got to keep building upon that. And again, we've got three really good backs in Devin, Zach, and Jimbo, and two guys that are, you know, fighting right now in Duke and Raheem that are just, they're putting everything they can into it, and they're looking really good out there. And as we continue to do that and get more confident with that, it's only going to help us on the field.
So with now, like, your own running ability, do you have a limit on it? I mean, what's your thought of QB power all the time? You just always, like, coach, call it? I don't care?
I mean, the competitor in me is like, yeah, put the ball in my hands, right, for sure. Now I understand, like, let those guys who get paid to run the ball, run the ball.
Yeah.
But quarterback run game is so different. Like, we pick up an extra blocker, and it allows us to really outnumber teams that how they play us, if you will. So I'm all for it. Again, I'd rather throw the ball and hand it off. But if I'm called to do it, I'll do it.
You're natural at it. I mean, it's like you played running back at some point in your life almost.
So first year of Pop Warner.
First year of Pop, you read blocks and you know how to set them up, and it's quite impressive, really. It's a big time weapon.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. I'm gonna shine my way. The first Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
He's his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Enough of the quarterback mechanic stuff. Do you realize, like, where you are right now? Like you're the man. Like, you're, like, definitely one of the best quarterbacks in football, right? Has that, like, hit home to you? Do you ever think about it? Like, man, where have I come from? And I'm in this elite group of guys with, you know, the Bradys and Rodgers and Mahomes right now in the NFL.
It doesn't really sit with me like that.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, like, I'm doing what I love to do, being a quarterback for such a historic franchise here in Buffalo and such a great fan base. And, you know, something I'm proud of is what I've been able to do off the field in the community here, and, you know, have the Patricia Allen Fund.
It's awesome.
Be able to help out Oshai Children's Hospital. And, again, at the end of the day, I get to play football. So that's all I care about. And one time it did hit me was obviously during the match.
Right.
You know, playing in that little golf deal with Tom and Aaron, who quarterbacks I've idolized my entire life and looked up to, and then playing with Pat, who we know what he's done so far in his career. So that was a little surreal to me, and I kind of even leaned over to Pat. I was like, this is freaking crazy. So, and he felt the same way.
Yeah.
But again, like, there's so much work to do and so many more accomplishments, you know, that I want to accomplish, and I want to bring a Super Bowl back here to Buffalo and allow these fans to enjoy that. So we got work to do.
Did you learn anything with those guys, just being out there with Rodgers, Brady? Brady giving you, calling you a little chunky. How dare he?
How dare he? How dare he? He won't race me, though.
No, he won't. He won't. Definitely not.
He won't tackle me.
He won't do that either.
He can't
whoop me. No, he can't. I'll give you the edge there for sure. But along those lines, like, you know, you and Mahomes, like, that's the other thing that, to me, as a football fan, I've been around it my whole life because of my dad, and I love it. And I joke and call myself Johnny Historian all the time. You know, I grew up in, like, Elway Marino era. And then, of course, was playing early on in, you know, Manning Brady era. Yeah, you seem very aware that it's like it seems like we're going down to the Mahomes Allen era right now. You know, what does that mean to you? What the relationship you have with him? It just seems unique, and, like, kind of explain that to us.
It's very unique, and I think it's kind of rooted, you know, how we grew up.
Right.
You know, both of us obviously were very doubted in our early NFL careers, and, you know, colleges, didn't go to the top premier college. I know he went to a little more prestigious college in Wyoming. Go Pokes.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, how we grew up, and we love the game of football. He plays the game like I feel like how I do in terms of going out there and just having, like, we enjoy it. We enjoy being out there, and you can see him having fun with his teammates. And, you know, we've got a lot of respect for each other, but I got so much respect for his game and, you know, off the field as well, how he carries himself, how he handles himself. That it is such a unique situation, though, because, like you're saying, like, the media and the people, they want us to hate each other so much.
I know.
You know, and that's what it is, and that's what it's supposed to be. And
you want to beat his butt, but you really respect him and like the guy.
I respect him so much.
Right.
That could never happen. But, yeah, when we're on the field playing against each other, it sucks. You know, he's a hell of a player, and he's got me a couple times, more than I've gotten him. So we got to find a way to
give him some payback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, like, I know, like, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, they would be like, you know, they didn't have highlights available right after the game, right? But they'd always talk about, like, the next morning they opened up the newspaper, just be like, what did he score that night? How did he play? Did they win? All of that. Do you, like, find yourself going home being like, let me see what Pat did today. Like, let me see what the Chiefs are doing. Is it like that?
No, not really. Honestly, like, I'm so focused on what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah.
That it's really, like, when we play our game, I go home, though. I do watch. I watch as much football. Like,
yeah, you're a fan.
I am a fan of football. I love watching good football. So anytime I'm home, whether it's Monday, I have guys over Monday nights. We watch the Monday night game. I watch it Thursday night. When it's on Saturday, I watch it Saturday. I don't watch as much college as I'd like to.
Yeah.
But, again, when we have 1 o'clock games, and those 1 o'clock games are starting to slowly go away, we're getting some more Thursday nights, Monday nights, Sunday nights, and all that. But, you know, those 1 o'clock games here, we're done so early, like, we get to watch that 5 p.m. slate and then the Sunday night game. And
yeah.
I'm always watching football, so I do appreciate, again, how he plays the game, but there's a lot of other guys in the league that I like to watch too.
So you're saying you're watching the pregame Sunday night football night in America when I'm on, right?
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
I just want to make sure you're my boy Blue. All right, Super Bowl, you guys are the favorites, the Super Bowl favorites, gonna win the championship. You know, how do you handle that mentally? Do you embrace it, or do you try to, like, ignore it?
Well, we don't care about that. Like, that's our goal. That's our expectation at the end of the day. Coach McDermott preaches playoff caliber. In order to win the Super Bowl, you got to make it into the playoffs. So everything that we do on and off the field is towards that goal to give us a chance to win the Super Bowl. And, yeah, that's on everybody's mind. It doesn't matter if the media is saying that. It doesn't matter if coach is saying that. It's on our minds as a player and as a team. So that's what we're setting out to do.
Yeah, so first game of the year, we're going to be there, you know, Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Kick off the NFL season, the Super Bowl champs. Like, you got to play them. You got to play this guy once before. Like, take us into what it's like to have to deal with Aaron Donald on a play-by-play basis.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I've never been toyed or manhandled the way I've ever been with him. I
he threw
back,
you to the ground.
I stepped
time.
Back and I went to step up, and he literally just one-handed yanked me back this way, and it was like It took me, like, I had to watch it a couple times to, like, understand how he did that. Because I'm not a small person.
Right.
And for him to do that one-handed while he's getting blocked and just to rip me down, it's ridiculous. Like, you've got to double-team him. You have to know where he's at on the field at all times. Like, he's a monster. He is. And he's one of the, if not the best player in football. And he's been that way for the last 6-7 years. And you have to have a plan when you play against him. So I've got a lot of respect for his game. We share the same financial advisor.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, hopefully he takes it a little easy on me if he gets to me and sets me down gently.
I doubt it. You're both rich. I'd like to be your financial advisor. You know, you got to play him, you know, the time I referred to, the one time. So he threw you down. How much do you weigh right now, like, if you don't mind me asking?
245.
245?
Around there.
Okay, there's a little chuckle there, maybe, yeah. 250 something.
Well, I gave you actually the high end. Okay. I'm probably around 240, but I wanted to make the story sound better.
Okay, cool. All right, yes. I mean, he sounds stronger.
Yeah.
But you did get him back in that game. I mean, he threw you to the ground, but what was it, a 3rd and 18? I'm just pulling this off the top of my head.
Something
you're
crazy.
Right here, 3rd and 18.
Well, I got a face mask on somebody, and then I went to throw it away, and he was right there, and I just...
He somehow
he
got out of it.
He was in the air. He wasn't going for me, so I don't even count that for me. But I somehow got the ball away. We ended up going back 15 yards. But, yeah, that game was a roller coaster emotions, up 28-3, then going down 34-28.
Right.
And then scoring on that last drive to Tyler Kroft, that was pretty sweet.
Right. All right, look at you. You're trying to butter him up already that he's in the air so he doesn't hit you and all that stuff. Hey, you're the man.
Thank
all right.
you. Appreciate
I thank you.
You.
You see that? Wait, let's do that again. Peter King, let's see that. Boom. Oh, we had the point there too?
Yeah,
okay, I'll do the point. Okay. Oh, I got to get better on that.
There you go.
There we
just
go.
Like that.
And let's just shake like Peter King. Hello, Peter. How are you?
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed the Josh Allen interview. I mean, he's my boy Blue. He's like one of the homies now. I mean, gosh, I just go up there and hang out with Josh Allen for the day. I'm kind of a big deal. No, but seriously, it was amazing. Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills, big time expectations. You could see when I was up there, he's a man on the mission. The team itself is a team on the mission. I really think we're on a collision course with Kansas City Buffalo in the championship game. I really do. But, man, how could you not be impressed with the guy? And you could see the football IQ is real with Josh Allen as well. This is a well-thought-out human being as far as knowing the offense, mechanics, things he's stolen from other players, right? I mean, he let you know he stole something from Mahomes in warm-up, stole something from Rodgers and how he throws the football. He's really cool. He's well thought out, and he's definitely one of the best players our game has to offer. So big thanks to the Buffalo Bills. Big thanks to my boy Blue, Josh Allen. Week one. All right, so next week too. Got to lay this out. Only doing the one podcast because I'm going out to L.A. for Rams-Bills, Sunday night football opener, football night in America. You can tune into that on Thursday night. NBC will be there live and in person. That's going to be awesome. What a scene. And on Tuesday, doing my picks pod, the joint collaboration with Mike Florio. He got the best of me last year. I am going to be all over his ass this year, okay? I am. I'm coming back with a man on the mission. I'm like the Bills or the Chiefs, all right? So check that out Tuesday. That'll be out Tuesday afternoon. Everybody be good. Enjoy the opening game. And after that, when we get into week two of the NFL season, it'll be three pods a week, and we'll be a rolling train from there. All right, everybody, be good, be safe. Enjoy week one of the NFL season. Peace out.